waiving any appearances. So you will have 15 minutes. You won't have 5 minutes for rebuttal, just the 15 minutes.
I'm trying to argue with myself.
Okay. That'd be great. That'd be wonderful. You may approach the podium whenever you're ready and state your name and the party you're representing and proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Rachel Osband, and I represent the appellant foster mother in this matter. This is a factually complex case, but the issue before the court today is a pretty simple one. The question is really just, did the district court err as a matter of law when it denied our motion to dismiss the maternal aunt's motion for adoptive placement? An appellant submits that based upon the plain and unambiguous language of 260C.607 subdivision 6 and the Court of Appeals' own case law, the answer to this question is yes. The district court plainly erred. And as such, we ask that this court reverse the district court's decision. And I will note, I think very importantly, that since this brief was filed, the Court of Appeals has issued a published case that I think is directly on point here. And that case is in the matter of the welfare of the children of AMF, JG-TN, and CLB. It's A19-0542. And this case touched upon this very issue. Well, I don't believe it was an out-of-state relative here, and I think that it's very clear under 260C.607 that an out-of-state relative has an extra requirement on top of a in-state relative.
What did AMF say that's relevant to this case?
What AMF said is that the plain language of Minnesota Statute 260C.607, subdivision 6, requires a relative or foster parent to have, at the time the relative or foster parent moves for an order of adoptive placement, a completed adoption home study under Minnesota Statute 259.41, approving the relative or foster parent for adoption.
Was that the issue in the case?
That was the issue in the case.
And what was our holding?
And the holding was, just give me 1 second, Your Honor. Section 260C.607, subdivision 6A1, is unambiguous, and its statutory mandate is clear. At the time a relative or foster parent moves for an order of adoptive placement, the relative or foster parent must have a completed adoption home study approving the relative or foster parent for adoption.
Right, and we're very familiar with that case. I was actually presiding on
that case. I understand that, yes.
But that dealt with A1, and I think what we're dealing with here is A2, right? Because we've got an out-of-state.
We do, but that requirement, it applies to both. The adoption home study is required under 1 and 2.
Correct, but they are two different sections, and let me cut to the chase. Here's my question. Mm-hmm. Why didn't the unified home study done for maternal aunt, why doesn't that qualify as the statutory required adoption home study?
Because as this court has also recognized in other cases and as is set forth in statute, there is a distinct difference between an adoption home study and a foster care home study. And the language of 607 explicitly requires an adoption home study.
Okay, I understand that, but it seems to me that your argument is putting form over substance. If you look at all of the different elements, and the district court, in a very, very thorough and detailed opinion, both in the findings of fact and the conclusions of law, and in the memorandum, goes through in detail each of the requirements, and even assuming an alternative that if you superimpose the requirements of subdivision A1 onto A2, which I don't think is required, quite frankly, under the plain reading of the statute, but even if you assume that, all of those elements, except for maybe one, are met So where, why wouldn't this qualify, especially since it's an out-of-state study, and those are not going to necessarily match up verbatim for what is required in Minnesota?
I would argue that under adoption statutes, it is very clear that an adoption home study is distinct from a foster care home study. And the process of foster care and adoption are two separate and distinct processes. There is, under 260C.611, a specific rule as to what an adoption home study requires. And then when you look at 259.41, the statute specifically sets out how a foster care home study can be used as an adoption home study.
And 259.41 also sets out all of the requirements of an adoption home study, correct?
259.41 sets out what must be done for a foster care home study to,
background study. At the time an adoption study is commenced, each prospective adopted parent must.
Yes, correct.
And
I'm sorry, I mixed up my statutes.
It discusses a home study used to consider placement of any child on behalf of Title IV-E.
Correct. And then I think when you look at 260...
So isn't what the district court did here in part is look at this and say, well, you know what? What we have here in terms of what Florida provided addresses all of these requirements. Therefore, even though it's not called an adoption home study, it is, for all intents and purposes, the equivalent of one and good enough.
I think that's exactly what the court did, but I do not think that that is correct under statute. When you look at 260C.611, it specifically states that a child foster care home study can meet the requirements of an approved adoption home study if, and then it sets out...
The child's place there.
Well, no, there's four separate sections of requirements, and that was not met here. So I think that under the statute, it's
specifically... So let me ask you this. If under 260C.607, subdivision 6, parent 1... an adoption home study under 259.41 is adequate, why wouldn't the same study be adequate under paren 2, which I believe is one of the arguments you made below, that is that you should have to have a study under 259.41 in order to qualify under paren 2, an argument the district court rejected.
Correct. I'm sorry. I don't know that
My concern is this. Mm-hmm. If what we have, putting substance over form, is basically the equivalent of an adoption home study under 259.41, and an adoption home study is good enough for an in-state prospective adoptive parent under the statute, under 259.41, why wouldn't the equivalent of an adoption home study under 259.41 be adequate for an out-of-state pre-adoptive parent?
Because I think that 260C.611 makes it clear that a foster care home study...
Let's get away from titles. I'm looking at substance, not form.
I understand that, but I think that we still
Let me
have
ask
to follow
you this.
What the statutes, what the legislature has enacted in terms of how the process works.
In AMF, did the party who sought dismissal for failure to provide an adoption home study raise that as an issue and request dismissal at the initial hearing on the petition or on the motion for pre-adoptive placement?
I'm sorry, raise which
The
issue?
Failure to provide an adoptive home study.
That was the primary issue.
Right,
in the
and
case.
I'm asking, did the person who objected to the proposed adoptive pre-placement motion raise the motioning party's failure to have obtained and filed an adoption home study in support of the motion as a basis for dismissing the motion?
I believe that the county did do so.
Okay. In this case, the first reason the district court gave for dismissing is that at the initial hearing on aunt's pre-adoptive placement motion, at which time the court had to decide whether or not to let this case go forward to a hearing, no party objected that at that point in time, aunt had not provided an adoptive home study. Other grounds were given for not letting the case go forward, but the fact that at that point in time, no adoption home study had been filed in support of the motion was not advanced as a reason to dismiss the case. The judge set the case for an evidentiary hearing months later, and it was only at the first day of that hearing that a motion was made to dismiss the case for failure to have an adoption home study, even though at that point a study was available for the court's consideration.
That's correct, Your Honor, and that's partially because we were not a party to the case.
You were not a party, but you were at that initial hearing. You filed an objection in writing to Aunt's pre-petition placement motion, and you made arguments as to why that motion should not go forward.
Correct.
But why did you not make an argument that an adoption study had not been filed with the motion? That could have been ascertained by merely looking at the court file.
Correct, Your Honor. And we did not make that at the time. And I did.
So what do you say in response to the district court's argument that you've waived this issue?
Even if we waived that issue, I would submit that we didn't waive the issue that an adoption home study is required, as I briefed the court, the lower court, and this court as well. We honestly assumed that there was an adoption home study in the county's records, and we did not receive any discovery until a week before the evidentiary hearing, and then we raised it at that time. I would also say that I think under the plain reading of the statute and the way that it has been dealt with in these other cases, it's also the court's responsibility to dismiss the case if the prerequisites set forth in...
Can I just clarify? So then just that does clarify perhaps the objection is not the timing of it, the fact that it doesn't meet the requirement as defined by the statute, the title adoption home study and reference to 25941. So the document, unlike the other case that we were referring to where none was filed and
Correct.
Hence it was dismissed for that reason, the argument here, the sole argument, one was filed that is inadequate.
One was filed that was inadequate, and I still think that as a matter of law, the judge is required under the language of 260C.607, subdivision 6C, to dismiss the motion.
Counsel, would you explain that to me? I'm looking at subdivision 6, and I'm trying to see where it says a district court must dismiss the motion if an adoption home study has not been filed.
Well, Your Honor, it does not use that language. I will give you
that. So what language does it use that leads you to reach that conclusion?
Well, it's exactly how the Court of Appeals set forth its analysis in INRI DK, which is that C says if the motion and supporting documents do not make a prima facie showing, the court shall dismiss the motion. And in DK, the Court of Appeals...
Well, it says if the motion and supporting documents do not make a prima facie showing for the court to determine whether the agency has been unreasonable in failing to make the requested adoptive placement, the court shall dismiss. So the finding that the court has to make in deciding whether or not to let the case go forward is whether the agency has been unreasonable in failing to make the requested adoptive placement. I agree with you that if there is not an adoption study presently in the file, the district court would certainly have authority to say, I'm going to dismiss this. What I'm not so sure of is your assertion that the district court must dismiss the motion for lack of an adoptive home study at that time, even if the district court determines that a prima facie showing has been made that the agency has been unreasonable in failing to make the requested placement.
Well, Your Honor, I would point the court to the DK case where the court addressed
this. That's the unpublished case?
It is the unpublished case, but I think that the rationale stands, and it's directly on point with what you're asking.
Which is we shouldn't have a hearing if we don't know that this placement's a possibility.
Well, which is you can't make a prima facie case without the required adoption home study being included in your motion. That is a requirement, and there can be no prima facie case without it. And the court said the district court must dismiss the motion if the filing and its supporting documents do not make a prima facie showing. Because McElroy never properly filed a motion accompanied by a home study, his argument about the alleged unreasonableness of denying his motion necessarily also fails. As a practical matter, without a home study establishing the suitableness of the home, he cannot show it was unreasonable. So I think that that is exactly...
But here's my problem. You didn't object. At the time the district court was called upon to make the prima facie determination, no one said, you can't make that determination, we don't have a home study. So the court made the determination. At the point when you did make that objection, the court had available to it a home study. It was entitled Foster Home Study instead of Adoption Home Study, but it basically met all the requirements of an adoption home study. Am I to say the district court erred in having already concluded that there'd been a prima facie showing that the county was unreasonable, and having been provided a home study that was favorable, and having set aside time on its calendar and on everyone else's calendar for an evidentiary hearing? The district court then erred by having a six-day evidentiary hearing, making 30 pages of single-space findings of fact, including 8 pages of finding regarding the child's best interests and the best placement for this child, which, by the way, are not challenged in this appeal. It seems to me that your argument is putting form over substance in a way that is not consistent with the best interests of children.
Well, Your Honor, I understand that that is the
one way to view it.
Perspective. And I would argue that I don't think that that is in line with the way the statutes are set up and the plain language of the statutes differentiating adoption home studies from foster care home studies. Again, I would point this court to specifically 260C.611 and the entire way this process is done. Maybe it's not a good process. Maybe we don't like it. But it is the way that it is set up under the legislative process. And with every foster care and adoption case, this is something that people have to contend with. A foster care home study is not the same, and it doesn't qualify you for adoptive placement. This is a motion for adoptive placement. This is not a motion for a foster care placement.
Counsel, I think your argument would be stronger if we were arguing under subdivision 1 versus subdivision 2, because there you do have explicitly the requirement that it conform with section 259.41. That is not in subdivision 2 at all. It seems that the legislature took that requirement out of there to provide a little bit more leeway for out-of-state studies, knowing that out-of-state studies are probably not going to match up completely with what we require here in Minnesota and what we can actually approve here in Minnesota. So I'm concerned that it seems to be that I'm struggling with trying to figure out how the district court erred in looking at putting aside the title of what it is and looking at the substance to determine that it did actually qualify as an approved adoptive home study done in Florida. What is? Let me ask you this question then. What is missing from that unified home study that maternal aunt provided that it would prevent it from qualifying as an approved adoptive home study? What is missing from that?
Well, Your Honor, I can't give you a precise list of that right now because I do not have the home study in front of me, but I can state to your earlier point, Subdivision 6, Section 2 still states that there is a requirement of an approved adoption home study. It does not say an approved home study.
Right. That goes to the title, though. That goes to the form of the document. What, in the substance, what is missing from there to make it not qualify as an adoptive adoptive home study?
Well, Your Honor, I there are different requirements, and I honestly, off the top of my head, do not have that in front of me, and I don't think that it...
Fair enough.
I don't want to put anything wrong on the record, to be fair. I'm happy to supplement if the court would like that.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Looking at the district court's findings, mm-hmm. When the district court went through all the different elements of what's required under an adoptive home study and what was done in the unified home study looking at the residents. And there are numerous visits to her home. I think it would be hard to argue that she's not qualified to be a parent. I mean, she has...
I don't think anybody's arguing that, to
okay.
be
fair. And the district court went through in detail all the different factors, health, care, financial, all those different factors. What is missing there to prevent it from qualifying as an adoptive home study?
Well, Your Honor, again, I don't have the specific factors in front of me, but I would say that part of what is missing is the fact that it needs to be assessment of adoption issues specifically.
But isn't the record clear that it was not possible for maternal aunt to obtain an adoption home study in Florida that was specific to this child? As I understand it, she could have obtained a general adoption home study, but it wouldn't have addressed this child's specific needs.
Well, to be fair, Your Honor, that it's not required that it be a child-specific adoption home study. Just it's an adoption home study. And adoption home studies are a term of art, and they are treated differently. And no, she could not have gotten one for this
specific child. But if we've defined adoption home study here in Minnesota, and it lists all the required information, and we look at what's titled a foster care home study from the state of Florida, and the information there satisfies the requirements of what we've defined as necessary for an adoption home study in Minnesota, shouldn't that be sufficient?
I don't think it is, Your Honor, because, again, this has to part of the adoption home study is that it needs to be looked at in a different time frame than the foster care home study if you're not going to convert it under 260C.611.
And at the end of the day,
we don't know if she's going to be eventually approved for the adoption home study. I would certainly expect, based on things that we have, but there's other information that things can change. Relationships change, additional children are in the home. There's all sorts of things that aren't on the record here in this court, but there's a reason that we haven't the approved adoption home study because it's a placement for adoption. If for some reason she were not approved for the second step adoption home study, this child cannot be placed there for adoption. So there is a reason that there is a two-step process and a reason why an adoption home study that says this child can be placed for adoption in this home, which is not what the foster care says. That is not what the foster care...
Where is the child now?
Now she is with the maternal aunt.
She is. And what is the status of the home study regarding maternal aunt?
My understanding is that it's in process. We had a 90-day review hearing in September, so I don't have any information since that time.
And I, it's a difficult argument to make. I appreciate you're making it to us this morning. And I appreciate the comments you made about tone in the district court's order. And I think everyone here appreciates the time and sacrifice foster mother has given to this child and the unimaginable heartbreak she must feel at this point.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm well over my time, so I'll step away. Thank you.
Not a problem, Counsel. We appreciate you answering all the additional questions that we had. We did go over, but we thought it was important to try to get as much clarity as possible in this very, very important matter for all the people that are involved, and we do realize how important it is for all the parties involved. So we do appreciate your time, your effort, your briefing, and your oral argument. Thank you very much. We'll be issuing an order within the shortened statutory time because it does involve a child. We will try to issue the opinion as quickly as possible so there is resolution for the parties. That is our last case on our calendar, so this court stands adjourned. Thank you all.
All right.